Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our morning devotional. We are going to be going through Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 13 today. Mark 16, 9 to 13. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Now, before we get into the meat of today's devotional, you might have been a little bit thrown off by the fact that our passage begins with Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Yesterday, when we read the earlier part of Mark 16, we're also told of a group of women who went to Jesus's tomb early on the first day of the week, and that also included Mary Magdalene. And you might be asking yourself, wait a minute, why are there two different accounts of what happened that morning? And actually, if you read all four Gospels in conjunction with each other, you'd realize that there are a host of different accounts of what actually happened directly after the resurrection. Was it Mary Magdalene who visited the tomb? Was it a group of women? Was it Peter and John? Was Jesus there? Was he not there? How many angels were in the tomb? Without going too much into it right now, many believe that actually all these different accounts were true. It's not just one or the other, with the rest being inaccurate or lost in translation, but in fact it shows that when Jesus rose from the dead, he went straight to work in appearing before many of his disciples and showing them that he had conquered death. But although these revealings caused great surprise to those that Jesus came face to face with, not all believed the news of his resurrection. We see in today's passage that although Jesus appears to two groups of people, Mary Magdalene and two of his disciples, their subsequent testimonies are met with disbelief from those that they go on to tell. He first appears to Mary Magdalene. And imagine Mary's surprise when she sees Jesus. You know, Jesus's death was far from insignificant, even in the eyes of the general public at the time, and it must have caused a big stir, and it was probably the talk of Jerusalem. And so, although this tragedy likely plagued her wherever she went, suddenly she finds herself staring at a living, breathing Jesus. We don't know how much of the good news in full clicked in Mary's mind right there and then, and all the implications of Jesus being alive. But we do know that she realized that this meant the end of the mourning and the weeping of the disciples. And so she rushes over and tells them, hey, stop your mourning and your weeping. Jesus is alive. He appeared to me just now. And wouldn't you know it, the disciples dismissed her. Too outlandish a claim, too convenient a development, and from a woman, no less, which, in their eyes, likely disqualified her as being the prime candidate for Jesus to first appear to. But Jesus, being as busy as he was that day, also appeared to two of the disciples that Mary had brought the news to, as they were walking later into the country. And they must have been humbled in that moment, realizing that, oh man, everything that Mary Magdalene had spoken was true. And although they went back themselves and told the rest of the disciples the same story, they were also dismissed. Hysteric, opportunistic, etc., etc. So what can we learn here? Well, first off, I think it's unfair to condemn the disciples outright for their skepticism. Put yourself in their shoes. This rabbi of theirs had just been arrested, publicly whipped and sentenced, and crucified for all to see. All his claims have been discounted because he was dead. And suddenly, in the midst of mourning and weeping, these people say that he's alive again? It's a ridiculous claim. And for us, as we have also heard the good news and have encountered Jesus, we need to realize that the resurrection is indeed a ridiculous event. It is the most unimaginable happening to have ever occurred, and Yet we know that it did. We know that Jesus conquered the grave and with his resurrection declared that life could be eternal once more. Knowing how awe-inspiring and reality-bending the resurrection of Jesus is, I think we should A, give him glory and praise him for his victory, and B, understand that this is a claim that will take a lot for others to believe. You know, not even the disciples who were the closest to Jesus during his time on earth believed that he had risen from the dead the first or the second time that they heard the good news. For some of them, it took meeting the risen Christ face to face, touching the holes in his hands to truly believe that he had returned. And so for us, if we have friends or family or coworkers or classmates that we have had the privilege of sharing the good news to, we need to remember that it isn't just a one-time offer, take it or leave it kind of thing that we're sharing. We're sharing with them news that, if true, changes everything. If Jesus did raise from the dead, if he is alive, then it all changes. We need the Holy Spirit to move in our circles, in our daily arenas, even in our own hearts, so that we ourselves accept the reality and the truth of the resurrection. Perhaps these early reactions to the good news is not just highlighting the shortcoming of the disciples that heard it, but also demonstrating that the news of Jesus' resurrection is one that requires patience and persistence and reliance on God in order to communicate. But I will say this. I wonder how Mary Magdalene and later the two disciples felt when their claims were dismissed. I know that if I were them, I would get a little bit indignant. Like, why are you not listening to me? I'm bringing you the best possible thing that you could hear right now. And maybe they were a little bit frustrated at their peers for not getting it right away. But I think that in that moment, there was a joy in their hearts that could not be extinguished. Even when they were dismissed and their words were rejected, the realization that Jesus, their King, their Savior, their Messiah, was alive must have set their hearts on fire. All the worries that had piled on them the last couple of days after the crucifixion must have melted away when they realized that life as they knew it was truly not the same anymore. I hope for us, 2022 is full of opportunities for us to share the gospel, to share the good news of a king who came to die for us, but conquered death and is alive again. I hope that many of our brothers and sisters finally heed the call to come home and are reunited with the Father as they believe in Jesus and step into eternal life. But while we hope, all the while as we might be rejected and dismissed, labeled as ridiculous or delusional, as we grow in patience while sharing the good news, I hope that we never forget the joy of knowing the truth. Let's ask God to make fresh in our hearts the joy that comes from knowing that Jesus is alive. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, I pray that you make yourself known to us. Father, we need your help. Lord, show us that you are alive. Show us that you are real, that you are here, that you have been raised from the dead. Lord, I pray that news just brings us immense joy, that we realize that with that, or with your victory over death, Lord, there is nothing in this life that can win against you. There is nothing that can overcome the peace and the grace and the life that you bring. Lord, I pray that we know that today. I pray that as we share the good news with others, that it's something that we can be patient for, knowing that it is a bold claim. But Lord, you are truly God. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.